Ventnor City Commission meeting, December 12th, 2019.
Call to order. Everyone stand for the flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Commissioner Langria?
Here.
Mayor Holtzman? Let the record reflect Mayor Holtzman is absent.
Before we start tonight, I'd like to have a pause for a moment of silence for Bill Tate. He was on our school board. It's going to be hard. And it's going to be hard. also, Maria Mento's husband for 30 years. He's a good Ventnor resident and a great gentleman. So I'd like to pause now for a moment of silence. Thank you. Pursuant to the Open Public Meetings Act, adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the law. We don't have any presentations tonight. Department heads, Ernie, I see you here. Do you have anything for us?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Ed, you got anything?
No, only what's on the agenda.
Okay, and we'll hit those as we go through that. All right. Capital discussion, I don't think we're doing that tonight. So the following items are scheduled for action tonight. At the regular portion of this meeting, we'll approve the minutes from our October 10th, 24th regular meetings and the November 14th regular meeting. We have no ordinance introductions. We have one public hearing on ordinance 2019-22. Excuse me. And this is the authorizing the purchase of 6510 to 12 Ventnor Avenue in the city of Ventnor. We're now going through some of the due diligence on that.
Correct.
And that'll be finished up hopefully soon and we can move forward with that. Just for the record, this was the property that was damaged by fire and ultimately demolished this past summer. We will adopt several resolutions by consent. We have some contracts as well. Resolutions 2019-372 through 392 we'll adopt as by consent. First one is refund of water and sewer overpayment. There's the address in here. No, it's just by block and lot. No, there it is. 117 North Suffolk Avenue. It was an overpayment of $179.21. Get my mouse to work here. Resolution 2019-373 is authorizing refund of the tax overpayment for 716 North Dorset Avenue, amount of $198.94. Next resolution is 374, and that is a street opening hardship permit for block 43, lot 8, 102 South Washington Avenue for Jerry and Joan Cohn. They came before us, I think, last month and did their presentation. It's an installation of new water and sewer services, and that's kind of at our request. So what we've been doing is asking for the new construction or significant renovation to a home. If the Public Works Sewer Water Department decides that that's an old, really old connection,
right.
Some of them are very old water connections, so we're getting those replaced, which is a good, smart program.
Sure.
So, most of our problems, Ernie will say, are with our sewer water connections with the home, so it's a nice fix. So I would support that hardship waiver. And what that is a road opening of a road under moratorium. Fiscal grant cycle, July 1, 2021. This is for the fiscal grant. Yeah, alcohol and drug abuse established by the municipal alliance. It's the municipal alliance.
It must be alliance, right? Every year.
Yeah, we do that every year. 376 is contract for professional services, Mr. Timothy McGuire. We'll be more than that this evening.
Yeah.
That's not really what it is.
It's amending it for all.
It's amending, I'm sorry, did I miss that?
Yeah. We're just amending.
I just don't want the public to be confused, that's amending it concerning the authorization for litigation matters.
Oh, gotcha, right, and we knew that coming in, yes, all right, thank you. Sorry, I was just reading the first page of it, recognized that that was, so that's 376. 377 is authorizing the mayor in an agreement with Mara Health Administration through Davis Vision for eye care benefits. Okay. 378, refund K. Richmond Ice Cream for their license for Kevin Richmond in the amount of $20 for surrendering his ice cream peddling badge. That's nice, we get that back.
Take that out, pay the tax.
Yeah. Well, it came about because they were losing them. So if they know they get $20 back when they turn it back in, it's the second one I think we got, right?
This is the third one.
Third one? Okay. I know we got these two. This one was the second one. So that's 370. 379 is requesting approval of special items of revenue and appropriation. Now is this municipal aid program? Is that something with you? This is with Wellington Avenue.
Yes.
This is a paving and reconstruction of Wellington Avenue. Let's see, we're going through this thing again. I'm reading it yesterday. It's hard to read on the phone on the plane. So it's a grant, $222,122. This is Wellington past Burke, past
from Latvia to...
This is out, it's better west, I'm sorry. That's the other one we applied for Dorset Ave.
Dorset Ave, yeah.
So this is out between the school and Swarthmore Avenue, as it moves around there, correct? Okay. And we just did a bunch of work out there anticipating getting this work done. Good. 380 is we authorize a waiver of fees for application for special events. And they're mostly, they're non-profit type things, event or parade, I'm looking at retina events. Well, through just looking at it briefly. Yeah, most of them are our own events.
They are, yeah. And anything that wants to be, that needs to, they would have to come to us.
Right.
For the three.
Okay.
So these are all city-sponsored events.
Okay. Resolution 381, authorize emergency repairs at Atlantic Avenue. Traffic signal system not to exceed $4,248.75.
This was two emergency repairs.
Yep.
Two separate emergency repairs on the traffic signal. One block boxes blew over during a windstorm. We need to replace the bottom half. And the other was an excavation that hit and unmarked underground conduit.
Yeah. This was just this past October. And then November was the windstorm, yeah. Yep. So emergency repairs there. Transfer of funds, this is yours, Alan. So
it's just transfers, with normal transfers between separate lines.
Okay.
Other costs.
Gotcha. It looks like nothing changes in the budget, just moves it.
Just
transfer one line, replace the other.
Gotcha.
That was resolution 382. And then there at resolution 383. Let's see. Also, body armor replacement program, $3,269.84.
Federal grant we received money for.
Okay.
So we have to appropriate.
Gotcha. Good stuff. And let's see. I'm authorizing the purchase. This is resolution 384, excuse me. 2020 Ford F-150 low roof cargo van, $31,519 state contract. That's van for
our water meter.
Right, that's the water meter truck we spoke about. Yep.
It was authorized in 2017.
Yep.
And the current water meter vehicle will be passed down to the pump operator.
Okay, pump operator's vehicle's done. Okay. Goes to the scrapyard. I think Saul drove that 30 years ago when I first met him. Same truck. like we're, resolution 385, which is reclassifying Michael Cianci from meter worker one to water meter repair to a pumping, station operator with the job two laborer effective December 15, 2019.
So Michael has transitioned into pump operating role.
Okay.
His title has never changed from meter worker one / water meter repair.
So this is part of what we talked about with Cindy going through these and getting people in the right civil service title, which is good.
Yeah, she's going, you know, she's working her way through this day.
Yep.
Great.
And is there a couple of these tonight or no?
Just one.
Okay, because I know we've discussed several of these coming through, so we'll be seeing these coming up in the future, I'm assuming. It actually saves us. They may get a little bump now into that title, but they're not working out of title where we have to pay them more.
Right.
386, resolution 386, hiring employees of the city of Ventnor. That Brian Nolan is a full-time public works laborer one, effective 1/1/2020.
And, Mr. Vett is to fill a vacancy.
Right.
By the employee, but this county is at on.
Resigned. Okay, good. And we've ran, Brian's worked for us the last two summers.
That is correct, and has been continuing to work now this fall as a partner.
Good. It's good to get some young guys in there.
Sure.
That's good stuff. Keep it confidential. Bill, this one's yours. No, it's Bill. Bill's not here. Bill's still celebrating the Eagles overtime win.
Yeah. He's there.
In fact, I know, I saw the picture. Tax abatement for 303 North Cornwall Avenue. For Dwayne Howe. It's not showing the map. It's odd, isn't it?
No, there's actually a plus
spreadsheet.
Oh, a percentage one? Okay. Oh, yeah. It's
been 77%.
Gotcha. Yeah, there it is. It's all broken down. Good. That was the new home construction abatement program. Resolution 388, looks like another tax abatement, 304 North Dorset. Again, that's part of the abatement agreement. And this has actually been a pretty good program to encourage people to build new homes.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Here in Ventnor.
I hear all the time. That's part of the drivers. I want to make sure they get it done.
Resolution 389 is contract vendors, contract unions pursuant to NJSA, all that. Now, this one is you.
This is required that we list the state contract vendors that we use as well.
Mm-hmm. So this is that list. Okay.
Yes.
Good. 390, almost done. Refund for water sewer overpayment, amount of $1,741.93. That was a big overpayment. What does that do? So that's an overpayment, we're gonna refund that. And resolution 391 is Mathis Construction. This is for drainage improvements to Marshall Avenue and Oxford Avenue in the amount of $227,528.25 to Mathis Construction in Little Lake Harbor. And we have experience with them. They did Swarthmore's drainage program there, right?
That is, they're doing the Newport Avenue drainage project currently. They also did Burke Avenue 2 years ago, maybe.
Yep, and they've done good work for us.
They've done fine work for us. This was a very good bid. They had four bidders, and I think the first three were within $20,000 for each other.
Yeah, they were.
That was really good.
All right, so we'll be awarding that to them. Yeah, there was four bidders. You had Mathis, Arthur Henry, West Bay. I've not heard of them. And Coastline Construction, we're familiar with them. And the last one, 392, is another tax abatement agreement for 18 South Rossboro Avenue. That's it for the resolution. Okay. Any questions on this?
I do want to circle back just to take a minute because I think we
it's not my department, but it, on 379, just to realize that we're fortunate to get that amount. We're talking about $222,122 of a very competitive bid, 661 applications for the money that was supported by the gas tax. So I just thought it's not something that we get, that's a kind of...
Not everybody gets it.
Right.
Jim Patella does great work for us getting grants. He gets a lot of grants that he applies for. I don't know how he keeps them all straight, because he represents a lot of different municipalities.
Right.
But he's really doing work for us, and that's great. And I think Ed, you helped him with that, because you put together the specs on the road.
There's so many of them, it's hard to...
We do apply for a lot of money.
Well, thanks for that. I appreciate it.
No, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
And that's...
Catch us over, but it's remarkable.
Yeah.
If you look at this, how much competitive we need from the state for that kind of funding, so we get our piece of it.
Right, it is. All those grants are so competitive now. That's good news. All right, so after that, we'll go into bills and payroll. We'll have discussion items. I think we have a few here, right? U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I did not get to review that, so I apologize. Ed, did they send this to you?
I can sort of speak to that. If you, Commissioner Landgraf, Commissioner Kripal, if you remember, the Army Corps approached us a while ago about doing a toll gate study.
Right.
And part of the deal was we have to give them money up front, and there was a clause in the contract that said it could be canceled for any reason upon 30 days' notice. So we wrote to them and said, well, we can't sign that contract where it can be canceled within 30 days' notice after we give you money.
Right.
And they then advised us, well, that's going to be considered a significant change, and in order to change that, we have to send it up the chain of command, so to speak, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Conversation.
And our response was, okay, do that. Well, apparently that wasn't done, and just recently Maria has been contacted by the Army Corps saying, hey, are you folks still interested? And I said, well, put it on the agenda, and my guess is they're still interested, subject to that language being changed, but put it on the agenda, we can discuss it. So that's why that's item one.
All right. It was a significant amount of money we had to put up.
I think it was $300,000.
Yeah.
For the study.
For the study.
Right.
Yeah. So in my recollection, and this is how this was explained to me, before the dunes were built by the Army Corps, they started a study on those dunes back in the 80s. So it takes 10, 15, the Army Corps didn't come in here and build dunes until the early 2000s.
Right.
And that was on Absecon Island. Mm-hmm. And I guess they did it down in Ocean City and all these other places too, but I know they started to build them in the early 2000s. So that's how long it takes the Army Corps, the federal government, to do these studies. So this wouldn't show any results for many years down the road, but it's something I think we need to know about.
Well, this would be for the bulkheads along the back bed.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying that's how the dune project started, was many years ago, doing the research. So they're looking to start that in the back bays now. Some of the studies that they, and if you went to the public meeting where they talked about it, the solutions, they had it over at our, we hosted it for them. Some of the solutions are pretty extreme, mm-hmm. that they're talking about. They have 10-foot high concrete walls.
Mm-hmm.
Along the bulkhead, taller than the bulkhead we have now.
Mm.
Which I hope isn't the answer, because then you have no access to the bay. That was an extreme that they showed that could work. They also showed this huge tidal dam that would go on the Absecon Inlet. On one side on Brigantine, one side on Atlantic City, and you would close the inlet during the storms. They have one over in the Netherlands.
Right, that would be, I'd be impressive to see if they could pull that off, quite honestly.
Billions of dollars to put this thing in. I don't know where that's coming from. But they've done it elsewhere in the world, and it seems to help. But it's, you'd have to close off all the inlets. You can't just close off one.
Right.
You have to go down and close off the Ocean City inlet the same way. So it's something I think we need to participate in to know what the results are.
Is that the caveat? We have to participate in
Well, if they don't get the participation, they won't do the study.
right?
Right.
What about Marcus and Atlantic City?
I just need to know, we should tell them that, yes, we're still interested?
Yeah, we are.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
That would be my suggestion.
Okay. What about Margate? I mean, we can't, isn't it a conversation that we have with the entire island?
They have had that conversation. But we can certainly ask, I mean, this isn't saying we're going to sign it.
I understand.
Right. We're going to go back, yes, we're still interested. We need to see what happens with this one clause.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
Because they can say, oh, here's our $300K, and 6 months later they say, oh, we're not doing it anymore. Where's my money?
Right.
Exactly.
No. It's not. And I will, they define the scope of the project, so I will ask them about Margate, but I think...
It's the whole island, it's the whole Back Bay.
Oh, is it?
So that was our portion.
Yeah, and they already had something in mind for Jackson Avenue to, and part of that, right?
Yeah. So maybe we'll get back, when they come back with that, we'll look at it again, because I forget the parameters of it at this point, but we're still interested in participating if certain things are provided to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's 111 South Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That probably was placed on there, and subsequent, there were emails went back and forth. That was just someone wanting to know, an adjacent property owner wanting to know if the city would be interested in selling them land. Since that was placed on there, I've gotten the general idea that the answer to that question is yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure that is yes. I will have them do a title report and legal description of the property they wish to purchase, and we'll take it from there.
I think they had that right. She should get that. Okay. And just to be very clear what this is an area where there's bulkhead on municipal property, and they own the property immediately adjacent to it. They want to replace the bulkhead and use that property to do it. And it makes perfect sense. They're going to maintain the bulkhead, do all that stuff. Ed is in on that.
I just wanted to make sure that you saw the most recent email from Mr. Goldstein, which indicated that, hey, once we get this land, what we were planning to build is by right.
Correct.
Okay.
It removes variances for the home they want to build.
That's fine.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I did see that.
So it sounds like a win.
Exactly. They're going to pay us.
If it's by right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, plus they're going to pay us and maintain that bulkhead. It's ocean frontage.
Right.
Bulkhead.
Yeah, so I don't
know. It's not bay frontage.
Great.
But that's a good job.
And no loss of public land there. That's
correct.
That's
correct. Public land. It's
behind the house.
Yeah, right. Behind the home. It's one of those areas that has the jog beat back on the back beach.
Right.
So we have no executive session. And Sunshine Special, what is this for, please?
I just wanted to you to clarify to me exactly that you put on the roster we're going to cancel 26 meetings.
Okay.
And that we're going to advertise that our first meeting for January will be January 9th.
Okay. Do I need to read this now?
Okay.
All right, so the second meeting in December, we are not going to have that meeting. It falls Christmas week. We're going to have our 2020 reorganizational meeting on January 9th, 2020 at 5:30 p.m. at the City Commission Chambers, second floor, 602 Atlantic Avenue. Formal action will be taken.
And I'll advertise that.
Okay, good. No, that's the second. That was first. That would have been.
Sorry. Got me stopped. Sorry.
All right. And then we'll do a minute to build the table stuff. All right. So we're going to open it up to the public for any items that we've previously discussed. We welcome your participation. Please come forward, state your name, and give us your comments. I need a motion to open the public.
Motion to open the public.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we're open to the public. Anybody wishes to speak, please come up. Talk about the items we've spoken about in our workshop. Seeing no one jumping out of their chair. Motion to close.
Motion to close.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Kenny's jumping up. A little slow reaction, Mr. Carlson. Motion to close the workshop portion of the meeting.
Motion to close. Workshop.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we'll call to order the regular portion of our meeting, and we'll open the regular portion of the meeting, so we'll do that. We don't need to vote on that, correct?
No, not that. No, we're good.
So we need a motion to approve the minutes from October 10th, October 24th, and November 14th, all as one item.
Motion to approve minutes as described.
Second, roll call please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Yes. We have no ordinance introduction as we spoke about. We do have a public hearing on ordinance 2019-022, ordinance authorizing the purchase of 6510 to 12 Ventnor Avenue in the city of Ventnor City, Atlantic County, state of New Jersey. We have a motion to open the public hearing on the ordinance.
Motion to open the public hearing on ordinance 2019-022.
A second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So this hearing is open to the public on the purchase, the city's purchase of 6510 to 12 Ventnor Avenue. If anybody wishes to comment, please step forward. Okay, Mr. Ross.
Kenneth Ross, 123 North Swarthmore Avenue in South Beach.
I like that.
Sobe, not Nobe.
I like it.
Wow.
First of all, congratulations on a terrific holiday parade, by the way.
I heard it was great.
It possibly could have used a bit more flow control. There were groupings of people and then vast quantities of open space and then other groupings of people.
That was for you to come out and dance. That was for participants to come out and just jump in.
Having participated in the lengthy Veterans Parade on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, which is one gigantic accordion going in and out, I know the problems of that particular parade. But otherwise, reaction has been wonderful. It's great. Do it again next year with better flow control.
Better flow control.
I'm interested in precedent for the proposed purchase of this property.
Okay.
Can you name other properties that have been purchased by the city from the private owner, properties that are not an immediate safety hazard to the community, properties for which the current owner presumably is still paying taxes on lease the land value. Has this occurred before, and if so, where, and also why?
So I'm not sure. In our tenure, we have not purchased something like this. It came to our attention from the owner of the property that someone had approached him to use the property in something that we didn't support. So we thought it was better for us to step in and purchase that property for open space for now. We are not going to take county open space money on it. We could do that, but that would restrict the land forever to be in open space. We'd rather have the option down the road that if someone came to us with a really good project, we would rather do that. I'm really not willing at this time until the sale's done to tell you what that use was going to be, but it was something that I didn't support, nor did Commissioner Crevel, nor did the mayor.
And I can also add that the purchase of property by a municipality is specifically authorized by state statute, local lands and buildings law.
Sure.
I know many communities have purchased property. I'm pretty sure that Ventnor has it. I just can't off the top of my head think of one right now. But it happens.
Okay. It was definitely a concern of ours taking a property off the tax rolls.
That's the concern of the citizenry too.
And it very well should be. And I appreciate you bringing it up. I'm glad someone came here and didn't continue the discussion on other venues that has occurred.
Which continue as we speak.
It does, and they're uninformed, and you came here to get the right answer, and I appreciate that. So we've had some, right now the idea is for a pocket park. If you look next, you've been to Ocean City, immediately adjacent to their city hall. They purchased the land right there, and they created a little pocket park. Library or city hall? Roger McLaren sent it to me. It's a great little park. It's very narrow.
Right.
It goes back between an alley and one of the main streets there. So that's what we're looking at right now for the use of the property. The fallacy that is out there is that we paid its assessed value. That's just wrong. It's just not appropriate. It's not even close. Incorrect information, so.
And I guess the question, my other question is, why the rush? I mean, that building was torn down only 5 months ago.
Because there was a buyer.
Okay, it's a buyer.
Purchased the property.
Whose use?
We did not.
We don't see in the best interest of the city.
Most definitely not in the best interest of our city.
But there's precedent also in other areas. I mean, we've got an entire city block. It's not something that we purchased, but it's an entire city block where the tennis courts are. That property is not, we don't get the tax benefit of those, of that square footage, or the parks that are out in Ventnor Heights. So, I mean, the underlying philosophy is there. This just happens to be new for our tenure.
Yeah, if you're buying them for a municipal purpose, or you're buying them for eminent domain and a city benefit purpose, no question, absolutely.
Well, I think the open space will be a city benefit. I mean, it's a nice little green pocket park that we're going to create there.
Well, Lance, have you looked at that open space in the light of day and looked at the three-story building next door and the crumbling stairways and the trash cans that make it look like a South Bronx tenement?
So we're working.
And you don't want to sit in seats there and with a tree above you and well booked with that in the distance?
You're right. There's challenges. I was there today for that exact same reason. I walked it and deep and it's high on both sides. But if you spend some time, and you probably have, like in Philadelphia or New York City, it is a part of urban change where those pocket parks can include things like seating and I think the kids in I've spoken to some kids in the high school that are actually asked them ideas about that parking. They would like to see things like places for them to use Wi-Fi or have chess boards there, things like that. I think it's a place for people to it's proven a place that would be a draw to our downtowns, where right now we still have a lot of empty storefronts.
So with the larger space across the street next to Sephora's.
But that's not a lot.
Right, that's privately owned. That's
privately owned.
Privately owned. Taxes are being paid.
Yep.
So it's larger. Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought up a high school student. So as I'm driving home from work Friday afternoon, where you're almost ready to have town, I got a call from Drew Holmes. Drew Holmes is the AutoCAD instructor at ACIT. He said, Lance, hey, you got any projects for me? For my kids. He's senior capstone for high school kids. ACIT. So I said, yeah, I kind of do.
Right.
Threw the park out.
Imagine a well-lit stage back there for that you could use for a concert and tables and landscape and yeah, it would be a little bit of a cove, but it was well lit, so you can see from front to back, and it offered people a place to sit and bring food, or to have lunch and have Wi-Fi access. It's not a bad thing.
It's a lot of what ifs.
Yeah.
And a lot of expense on the city to prepare all that and build all that and maintain all that. You gotta call a Corps of Engineers and see if they'll take that 10-foot wall up there and make it a 30-foot wall and block off 2514 or something like that.
I wouldn't want to block it off. I want to keep it as open space. Keep it as a little pocket.
I mean on the side, on the ugly side.
Right, right. No, we're going to work with that property owner to maintain that area, get them to clean it up some. But the idea of having students give us design ideas.
Great idea.
Which I just thought was fun. I've done it with his other classes and some other projects that I've been involved with, both in Atlantic City and outside the city. So that's something we're going to have those guys have a project and come here and present to us.
Great.
Take the ideas and see what comes of it.
I'm also concerned that with that pocket park idea being to a great extent closed off from visible view from police cars, for example.
Right.
There's a big three-story building on one side. There's the two-story building kind of end-tunneling that whole area on the other side. There's no access off of an alley. You talked about an Ocean City Park that was between a street and an alley. This is not that, because there's no alley in back.
It would be fenced off.
There's no accessibility in the back.
It would be fenced off.
So the only eyes that might be on this park, my concern is that a pocket park would become a needle park, like they have in Amsterdam.
Right.
And a closed off, sort of partially invisible space cries out for
nefarious
actions.
Always going to have to be law enforcement involved with any public space that we have, that the city owns, as there is now. So there's certainly mechanisms that our police department, our fire department would look at as part of the design of the property. Cameras could be an option, that there's something that, and we are looking at cameras around City Hall and other public places that the city owns, the pier, tennis courts, all those areas, the library, the recreational fields behind, recreational areas behind there. We want to tie all them into a camera system that PD can monitor.
It's actually made it more safe. The fire escapes on the Margate side of that empty lot were not sufficient, and they had to be repaired and brought up to code. Right. As a result of the exposure now, and the fire that took place.
But their trash cans are still going to be in their side of the alley of this particular park.
So we can block that off with either landscaping or fencing or whatever we need. Mm-hmm. It certainly challenges there. But we think this is a good option for the community.
I and others are concerned about the lack of tax, the loss of tax dollars. If you can assure us that your evaluation of what was going to be the proposed use of that park necessitates this action, then we'll trust you on that.
Well, when the sale is complete, then we will make that public, as well as, we know what we assessed it as. We got our appraised value, and that's what we're paying, the appraised value, which is significantly less than the assessment.
Okay. I have to ask this, neither of you nor Beth have any financial interest in the guy who currently owns the property.
Not at all.
Unless you can assure us of that.
I can swear to it, assure you of it. I have, the owner's DJ Gluck, he's a realtor, he owns a lot of property in the city. I have no connection to the gentleman. I know him because he lives in Margate,
right.
But I have no connection to the gentleman.
We're speaking on behalf of the city, so yeah. Elected officials for this type of the project.
And the haste of doing this relates to the proposed use of this other fire.
Okay. He has reached out to us and said that entity has reached out to him multiple times during this process.
Okay.
And Mr. McGuire, you can, because he's called you.
That is a true and accurate statement. And in fact, I'm sitting here wondering out loud if the other entity would wish to purchase that possibly could apply for a tax exemption. So the fact that there wouldn't be any tax revenue generated at that property would have been the same if the other entity had purchased it, which in the view of the commissioners would have been a much worse scenario for the city than their residents.
And the guy has not had other bidders on the property other than that one that you know of.
That's the only one we know of.
So to Tim's point, the tax effect would have been lost regardless.
Right, it's a wash.
And it's funny, and you bring up a good point, Tim. There's another pocket park being designed, was approved already by the planning board up in the North Beach area. They have applied for tax exemption. So they will not be paying taxes on that property.
It's a privately owned.
Private will be a private park that you'll have to pay to get into. Yeah.
So in my opinion, that's actually more egregious because it'll be fenced off. You'll have a code and a gate, and you'll have to pay a membership.
Absolutely.
From what I've seen. And it's going to be tax exempt. So in my opinion, what we're doing is opening up a pocket park to the public with no proviso.
Right.
That's those North Beach people. We're not that.
Not someone who even lives in North Beach.
But it's not the public. If that was on the planning board. Memory Park.
It's named for someone. I don't know the particular name. I apologize for that. But, they have applied through the DEP to be tax exempt for the upcoming year. They will not be granted that tax exemption because they didn't meet the requirements. As of October 1st of this year, they had to have the improvements done and the park up and operating, and they would have gotten tax exemption for 2020. They plan to build it in the next less than 18 months.
It's something that's just currently...
That is probably twice as big, so the tax effect is much more easy.
If before you implement your plans for Pocket Park, a buyer comes along and asks, can I buy that from the city, would you sell it?
Depending on the use.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't want to
use some
open space money from either Green Acres or...
Yeah, because then you're locked in.
Then we're tied to it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Ken, I appreciate you coming out. Anyone else want to speak on that ordinance? Motion to close?
Motion to close.
Second, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
We've got...
Adoption.
Ordinance adoption. Need a motion to adopt ordinance 2019-022, an ordinance authorizing the purchase of 6510-12 Ventnor Avenue.
Motion to adopt ordinance 2019-022.
My second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes. Okay, move forward. And I need a motion to adopt resolutions 2019-372 through 392 by consent.
Motion to adopt resolutions as described.
Second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes. Now, you go through our bills and payroll, please?
Yes, payroll for last payroll that's passed is $599,215.80. And bill list for December 7th through December 7th, $8,943,807.49.
Excuse me, we have one more bill.
Yeah.
Excuse me, one more payroll.
One more payroll from 11-3 to 11-16. Okay, in the amount of $494,462.25. Thank you. Motion, please.
Motion to approve bill and payroll as described.
A second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langria?
Yes. Any announcements, safety report? Commissioner's reports. I don't really have anything at this time. I was going to talk a little bit about the parade. Thanks, Shelley. I mean,
yeah.
I apologize. I was not here. I had an opportunity to avail myself of risking life and limb skiing. since you saw the stuff, it was risk of life and limb.
So, Mr. Ross, you mentioned that as well. And, it was 80 specific individual units. There was a little bit of a hold up with one of the limos. Had some mechanical issues in the beginning, which I think, like you said, spread out the path a little bit, but it was well attended. It was a result of, and we'll thank her personally and thank her again, but lots of meetings, lots of phone calls, lots of coordination by Shelley and her team, as well as the police and fire. It was very much a group effort. But she starts planning it.
She's already for next year.
She has plans on having a light show against the side that wants to have against the side of the building. I asked her if she ever thinks small.
She does a phenomenal job for this community.
Yeah, and I remember just about 40 short years ago where the parade was over in a minute.
Yeah.
But now it
really become something. To get five marching bands or something like that.
Very much that.
So thanks to Shelley DeRazzo and her team. I know PD and fire department are there for everything out.
Yep. Helping. And Public Works.
And Public Works too.
That's right.
Big time. Forget about that. There'll be a public comment right at the end, Ken. I see your hand.
The only other thing I would just say is that you can also see it going up is that the walls and the station 2 are going up.
Yes.
And it's happening quickly. It's going to start welding around the floors in and starting the rest of the structure soon, so we're going to have them on the fall.
Pretty cool how it's coming together. Like a huge life-size erector set.
Yeah, and then they get acid washed, and they're all formed at different times, so some of the colors, we talked about that, and bringing up to speed as it cures, so we'll stay on top of them as far as quality control.
Good. Not too much else from your commission reports. Comments. I mean, we're working through the lighting on the streets with Atlantic Electric, getting the rest of the ornaments lit up. Was the parade route pretty much lit though? They got those done?
Pretty much lit. There's nine locations, five of them are outdoors, so there's only
okay. So we just have to get them to electrify those poles. Okay, good. I want to tell a brief story from out. So I met this couple out in Utah. They were building their house last winter for snow removal for their house. So the contractor could work there. It's $250,000. I said, that's less than my municipal budget for snow removal. It's not?
No, it isn't. Yeah. It is, right?
It's like, the lady hit me with her ski pole.
It is less.
$250,000 just so you can build your house.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
But it's just
all relative.
All relative, exactly. With that, we'll end the commissioner's reports. Oh, thank you. So keeps us on track. So this is our last meeting before the holidays.
Okay.
So we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and enjoy the new year. With that, we'll open it up to the public. We'll motion open to the public.
Motion open to the public.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, you have something?
On the parade again, from my vantage point in front of 6510-12 Ventnor Avenue, where I'm standing.
Doing reconnaissance work.
Yes. Hey, multitasking here.
That's good.
Some of the groups and floats coming down were unidentifiable. I'm thinking of a Rose Bowl parade where there's a big band coming and there's two people carrying a banner that says Dear Schwartz High School or something like that.
Right.
Considering adding that for next year.
Sure.
So we all know, who is that?
I think Shelley needs a coordinator.
There's a position open for volunteer.
I'll do it.
All right. We will
give her a trust me. She will bring you into the fold.
Yes, she will.
And
it was nice knowing you because
and also was, because the parade was on December 7th, it was allegedly to honor veterans. And yes, there were a few there, but again, that was not identified well as a paying to veterans. And I would like to, being in the DFW and American Legion, would like to have seen more identification on that particular chart. Otherwise,
yeah. I know it was all on the social media and all the posts, but you're right.
That's where the parade is up.
Right.
I think they have a good number of vets walking.
We did. We had a vet from every branch of our forces, and then
Coast Guard, Color Guard.
They were the Grand Marshal. We had a luncheon with all of them prior to the parade. But you're right. It could have. It really is a pretty tight budget. So adding more batteries and things like that have to be very careful.
Just imagine what the parade will be 5 and 10 years from now.
Right,
I like it.
Thank you. Macy's sponsored part of, you know.
It sponsors for the batch.
Yeah.
You didn't ask me as a veteran to march.
We'll get your information. We'll get you.
No, you put your hand up. You volunteered. We're giving your name.
Before you leave, let me get your number and email.
Be careful what you ask for. This is on TV, so Jordana can see that you put your hand up.
Yeah.
You can watch this. Okay, anyone else in public? Motion to close, please.
Motion to close public comment.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Closed. Okay, no executive session?
No executive session.
We'll have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Again, happy holidays, everyone. Enjoy your time with your families.
Absolutely. Happy holidays.